Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes things happen in life that help us to reevaluate our priorities. When my wife and I first went to Venezuela nearly 12 years ago, the strangeness and the dangers of living in the big cities of Venezuela helped us to keep the important things in our lives clearly in focus. But as the years have gone by, we have come to see our surroundings in Venezuela as commonplace. We've grown accustomed to the heat and the pollution, the traffic and the noise. We've gotten used to seeing poverty and garbage. The bars on all the windows and doors and the armed security guards, which once seemed threatening, now appear familiar and in some strange way reassuring. And the life that was at one time so strange to us now seems normal. And because it is normal, it no longer causes us to dig deep within ourselves and reevaluate our priorities. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was in a potentially serious car accident in Venezuela. And later she told me that as the accident was happening, in her mind she was sure that there was no possible way that she was going to escape that wreck. She was certain she was going to die. Miraculously, although her car was seriously damaged, she was not injured in any way. And when I finally arrived at the accident scene, we were able to have a joyful reunion. And as I held my wife in my arms and as we celebrated together God's goodness and mercy, at that very moment, I once again began to reevaluate the priorities in my life. I remember arriving to our home in Venezuela after the accident, and for some reason, looking at a Kleenex box sitting on the table. Common item. It was a color-coordinated box with an intricate floral pattern, something that was obviously carefully designed by somebody to match the decor of any home. And as I looked at that box after having gone through the rather traumatic experience, I recall thinking, somebody is spending their whole life designing Kleenex boxes. There are probably any number of people who invest their time and energy into the manufacture of this box. And they probably carry cell phones and they go to lots of important meetings and work overtime and neglect all kinds of things in their life just to produce a cardboard box that holds tissues that I blow my nose with and then throw away. And then when they're gone, I throw away the box. And with that thought, I began to look at my own life with the question, is what I do really important? Am I doing anything meaningful? Or am I just part of a global society consumed with pointless and meaningless activity? Most of us enter and exit the pond of life without hardly even leaving a ripple. Is anything we do really important enough to risk losing the life of a loved one, or to risk a marriage, or to risk your health and safety? And then I was asked to preach, and I was able to contrast my own philosophical angst with the obvious commitment and single-mindedness that the apostles displayed in our text. They had a mandate to preach Jesus Christ, and they were totally focused and committed to that task. They were imprisoned for preaching Jesus. And when an angel of the Lord miraculously freed them from their prison, that very same morning before the sun rose, they were back at it, preaching Jesus in the marketplace. And so they were arrested again that same morning, nearly condemned to death, only by the intervention of Gamaliel were they saved, flogged, and then released again. And they went out rejoicing, preaching Jesus once again. These apostles, men like us, Some of them married men, perhaps some of them with families. They were convinced of the supreme value and importance of preaching Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. And we here today share with the apostles the very same task, to preach Jesus. As students, that's what you wanted to do, and that's what you're being trained to do. And as pastors, professors, missionaries, and others, perhaps that is what you should be about doing and what you have been trained to do. We preach Jesus because at some point in our lives we became convinced that that really is the most important thing. Yet it seems to me more and more pastors are abandoning the pulpit and the humble parish as they seek more dignified and influential positions. Even those men who managed to stay in their parish or at their call, who once only desired to preach the gospel, they seem, as I visit them, to fill their time with peripheral tasks and relegate the preaching of Jesus Christ to a Sunday-only event. It seems that as leaders of a church body, as preachers, that we are determined to allow the pointlessness and irrelevance of our daily busyness to invade and contaminate the apostolic preaching office which has been entrusted to us. Now here we're different from the apostles. We don't need anyone to lock us in jail. We make our own prisons of busyness, and we lock ourselves in, and it's the proclamation that suffers. Yet that very one whom we neglect came to free us from our prisons. Jesus Christ suffered the greatest shame to forgive and free us who are sometimes ashamed to proclaim his name. Jesus Christ gave his life to free us from the prison of sin. And by his death and resurrection, he has released us from the bonds of irrelevance. Our pointless existence finds its hope and its center in him. He forgives our sins, and he offers to us and to all men eternal life. Jesus gives us hope. He gives us value. He gives us purpose. He gives us life. Brothers and sisters, so I say, let the world do what it may. Let it manufacture its Kleenex boxes and pursue its pointless tasks. We have one purpose and we have one calling, to preach Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus, the Lord and Savior of all. We are not called to preach fancy philosophies or convoluted theologies. The world doesn't need to hear about our great ideas or our careful reasonings. The world is dying. They need Jesus, and that's who we preach. And we preach him every day. Every day people are dying without the hope of salvation. Every day the message needs to be proclaimed. It's not a once a week event. Salvation isn't for Sundays only. We preach Jesus every day. And we preach him in the temple, in the church, as God gathers his people in the great centripetal movement towards the giver of life. And we preach Jesus from house to house as the centrifugal force of God's people moves out to interact with those who have no hope. We have a task. We have a calling. We preach Jesus. And for this reason, the church stands firm and marches on. If our message were from men, it would be overthrown, but it's not from men. Our message is from God, and it cannot be overthrown. The world cannot prevail against it. Our message is life. Our message is forgiveness. Our message is hope. Our message is salvation. There is only one thing needful, and that thing is Jesus. And so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus the Christ. And may God grant to each of us the boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen.